Well, there's a word from the Lord that comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 11. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, and it reads as thus. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. This morning, I want to encourage our hearts from the thought, learning to live in a place called in between. Learning to live in a place called in between. So our text for today finds God's people in Judah in a place that I call in between. In between is that place where we're waiting for something to get better. It's that place where we wait for God to show up and make our circumstance or our situation tolerable at least. It's the place where we seek comfort in our time of chaos. It's that place where we seek deliverance in our time of despair, and we seek healing in our time of hurt. We seek rescue in our times of ruin. Some of us know about that in-between place, that sometimes we liken it to the waiting room of life. You know what I'm talking about this morning. Your circumstance may have been good over here at one time, but now it's not so good, and so you're in the in-between place waiting for things to get, for them to get better. So Jeremiah was the mighty prophet of God. And Jeremiah has this one simple message that he gives to Judah. That preaches that Jeremiah didn't have to sit down week after week and come up with a thematic sermon, that he didn't have to exegete the text and come up with a hermeneutical answer to the question. He didn't have to do all of that. One simple message. And that message was this: get right with God, or you'll have consequences to pay. That get right with God, or you're going to pay the piper. But what do you do when the piper is actually God himself? But because of their disobedience, they were taken captive into Babylon. Many of you know the historical record. But there was a rumor going around from some false prophets. They were saying, listen, keep your bags packed, because after a while, listen, God's going to come to your rescue. You might be here maybe for a couple of years or so, but keep your bags packed, because after a while, God's going to deliver you. They were lying. Our text for today is actually a letter. It's a letter from God to Judah, but it's written at the hand of Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah to tell Judah, let's slow your roll. Hold your horses, slow down a little bit, because you're going to be in this situation for a little while. So settle down. So what were they supposed to do, though? If God is saying to them, you're going to be here for a while, what were they supposed to do in the meantime? What were they supposed to do until they were a free people once again? What were they supposed to do in between their initial captivity and God's promised deliverance? What do you do when you feel like you're in prison? Not this place with bars and cement walls. But you feel like you're in a place where, listen, there's absolutely no way out. Have you ever really been there before? Have you ever had a conversation with God? Have you ever had a battle or a struggle with God? A struggle in life where you're saying, listen, I can plan this way, I can scheme that way, I can try to do this, I can try to do that, but listen, but then there's no way out. I've had those conversations with God. And believe me, God has a sense of humor. In my mind, God was laughing at me. Yeah, you thought you were going to get out, but listen, no, you're going to be here. And that's it. So, Kevin, you might as well sit down, shut up, and color, because you're going to be in this situation for a while. But the good news is God always promises that he'll be with me and God will be with you. And so it says, again, settle down, slow your roll. You're going to be here for a while. What do we do, though, when this place where our circumstances are beyond our own control and God actually has us on lockdown? How do we learn to live in a place called in between? So like Judah, we experience in-between places in our lives. Have you ever felt like you were between a rock and a hard place? Have you ever felt like you were in between paydays, that perhaps you had more month than money? Have you ever been in between jobs? You had one and you lost it and you're waiting on God to supply your need. Have you ever been in between relationships? That you had one and it was good, but it went bad, and you're waiting on another one. But right now, you're waiting on the right one. You're waiting on your prince and not a frog. In a sense, y'all, we all live in the in-between place. In between the day that we were born and the day that we're going to die. If you're a believer today, you live in between the time that you gave your life to Jesus, you gave your life to Christ, the day you'll reign with him in eternity. The Apostle Paul said it well when he said that all of creation waits in groaning. The way a woman waits to bring forth a child, all of creation waits in groaning until the day that Jesus appears. That we all live in the in-between place in our lives. But until then, what do we do? How do we cope with? How do we handle the in-between place? I'm glad y'all want to know. And so we must learn to make the middle moments of life meaningful moments. We must learn to make the middle moments of our lives meaningful moments. You know, I wish I could stand here and tell you right now, listen, I know how long your night is going to be. I know how long your pain is going to persist. I wish I could stand and tell you your breakthrough is on the way. Listen, I wish I could tell you your troubles are almost over. But I can't tell you that. Y'all looking at me straight, preacher, why can't you? Is that what you're supposed to do? Shouldn't the wind be blowing in the building and your hair moving and the music playing softly and you speak this word to me to tell me I know exactly when you're going to come out? I wish I could. And I'm not saying that God can't give people prophetic words, but I don't have that word. I don't have that answer for you today. But what I do have is just a few valuable lessons that can help us as we look at this story in the text that can help us when we feel like we're in the in-between places in life. Let me read verse 4 for you again. It says this. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. So lesson number one I think we can gain from the text is this. Remember that relocation always starts at location. Accept the place that God has for you right now. Can we agree with that this morning? So certainly Judah wanted to relocate. They didn't want to be captives in Babylon. They wanted to be free. They wanted out of this situation. They didn't want to be prisoners of war. They wanted out, and they wanted out right then. And although they had hopes of quickly returning, they had to accept where they were. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. You have to accept your situation. You have to accept the circumstances that you're under right now. And what's so mind-blowing to me about this text is that they were in captivity by the hand of a sovereign and mighty God. That God strategically planned this situation, this circumstance for their lives. And there was no way out other than God. I don't care what the prophets were saying to them, the false prophets. The only way out for them was God and God all by himself. No matter what in-between place you might be in, there's this inescapable reality that God allowed you to be where you are. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, it doesn't necessarily mean that, listen, that God, he caused it. But what we know about the sovereignty of God is this, that God will allow certain things in our lives. If when I say God is sovereign, that means that he's all-powerful. He's all present everywhere. But God knows everything about everything. God knew what address you would be at this very moment. God knew the very season of your life in this very moment. Before you were born, God knew you would be sitting here in this place right now. Good morning, Mama Hyatt. Amen. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's how we do it, y'all. And so we have to learn how to see things from God's perspective. That we may not understand why we are where we are. We don't know how we're going to get out, but God does. He's sovereign. That he's all-knowing and God is all-powerful. But remember that relocation starts at location. And I think the first thing we have to learn to do is to step forward is think about this thing about awareness. Be aware of where you are. Don't try to fool yourself. Don't try to fake the funk, as I say. Don't try to embellish it and make it look good. You are where you are. Good or bad, you're where you are. The relationship you're in, it is where it is right now. Don't make it look good and it's not. You're in a job that you don't want to be on right now. There are people that may not like you, but you are where you are. So the first step toward change is it's awareness. If we want change, we have to be aware of where we are in our lives right now. And I think the second step toward change is acceptance. Accept it. You're going to be there. Relocation is often more about a mental and spiritual move than a natural or physical move. It's saying, listen, I'm in a place that I don't want to be right now, but I am where I am, and I accept it, and I know that God is with me. He promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. That God, you allowed me to be in this situation, in this circumstance for some reason, and God, I accept it, and I sit in it, and I wait. In your in-between place, see God's perspective. Think about the story of Joseph, all the Bible readers that are out there. That here God gives this dream to a boy. That he's going to rule over his family. He blabs it. That's what got him in trouble. But think of everything that took place in Joseph's life to move him from a dream and a promise to the fulfilled promise. That he had to go through the pit. Potiphar's house, prison, and finally make it to the palace. You know, I believe, you know, we want details from God. Yeah. God, I want to deal with, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I believe sometimes if God really showed us what's in store for us, we say to God, God, you can keep that. That's okay. That's okay. If I got to go through all of this, that's okay, God. I don't want to do that. Listen. We have to accept the place where God has placed us. And maybe you are where you are for different reasons. Maybe it's because of your own misdoings. Maybe it's because of sin. Maybe it's because of what other people did in your life. Maybe you just don't know, but you are where you are. And relocation starts with accepting your location, where you are right now. That Judah had to do that, and we have to do that as well. Lesson number 2, look at verses 5-7. Read with me. Build homes. This is what God is saying in this letter. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away and work for the peace. And listen to this, y'all. Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Lesson number 2. You can be in prison, feel like you're in prison, or feel like you're on lockdown, yet still remain productive. Never allow captivity to stop God-directed activity. One of the first things that I found out when we feel like we're on lockdown, y'all, we're in prison, that we're in a place that we don't want to be, our activity decreases. That well, I'll serve the Lord when my circumstances are better. You know, I'm not feeling good right now. Listen, when things work out, that's when I'll come back to church. When, you know, when I got this thing together, that's when I'll do this. That's when I'll do that. But listen, even in a lockdown situation, even when it feels like God has placed you in a place called Park, and you want forward mobility, in that place you can still be productive. You can still work for the Lord. You can still serve God. You can still be active in God's work. And that's what God is saying to Judah in the text. Listen, you're going to be here for a while, so you may as well be productive. God told Judah, you will be in Babylon, but be productive. He directed them to do what, y'all? To build homes, to make gardens, to marry, and to have children. God said you might be in a prison, you might be on lockdown, but don't shrivel up and die. Be active. Do something. Don't dwindle away. You think about Joseph when he was sold into slavery into Egypt. That he was productive. When all throughout his life, y'all, whether in the palace or from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison, Joseph remained active, doing something for the Lord, that he knew the Lord was with him. God even told Judah to work for the prosperity of the city. Now y'all gotta get that now. You on lockdown at the hands of your enemies, the Babylonians? The people that have a disdain for God and for you. And God is saying to them, listen, be productive for them on their behalf, that their welfare is your welfare. How many of us can do that? How many of us can really do that, y'all? For real, though. I'm talking to all of us today. You might be on a job that you really don't want to be on right now. But you know how some folks say, well, you know, I'm up in here on this job, you know, and I don't like it up in here, and so when I take a break, I'm going to take an hour and a half break. I'm going to give the man, you know, minimal time. You know, because I don't want to be here. But think about this on a normal job, that when you excel and when you do well, the company does well. And when the company does well, they can break off a little something for you. That's what God was saying to Judah. Listen, I'm going to bless you even in your lockdown. I'm going to bless you even though you're in Park, but you have to work for the welfare of the Babylonian. Do what's right in God's sight. Again, if you're in a job, you don't like it, bloom where you're planted. Can we say that? Wherever you are, bloom where you are planted. If you're in a relationship, it doesn't feel so good, bloom where you are planted. Seek God in that situation. If you have some health situations, some health issues in your life, listen, don't go around with your head hung down. Bloom where you're planted. Do what you can do for God and watch what God will do in your life. Don't throw in a towel. Don't stop fighting. Don't give up. You have to deal with the situation. But bloom where God has planted you. Because God has some promises and some blessings for you and for me. Lesson number two, lesson number three, verses 8 and 9. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. My. This is what I want y'all to know. Listen, good advice. Don't take advice. Listen, good advice is this. Don't take advice from just anybody. God's advice is always best. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever found yourself in a dilemma? In a place where you're fighting and struggling to get out, and folk will surround you and people will give you their advice? Yeah, even cheap folk, y'all, will give you free advice. They'll give it to you freely, y'all. But God told Judah, don't listen to these fake folks. Folks, don't listen to this faceless bunch of people. They're not telling you the truth. They're telling you the lie. I did not send them to you. See, they would tell him, listen, y'all going to be out of here in a minute. You go back to the previous chapter. I think they said Hananiah, the prophet, the lying wonder he was, said, y'all might be up in there a couple of years or so. But it would be 70 years they would be there. Not just a couple. Some 70 years. Hananiah was lying. Hananiah died when you read the story. Be careful what you say for God and how you speak for God. Be careful in your thus saith the Lord's. You better make sure if God said it, that's what you're saying. Don't add to it. Don't take away it. But speak what thus saith, what thus saith the Lord. And so they were lying. You know, I think about preachers. I believe that people can give a prophetic and a right now word, but it must be from God. I think about preachers that stand sometimes and say, you know, so they got a congregation, an audience of 5,000 people, and they say, listen, son, God's gonna bless somebody in the house today. It's gonna happen. It's gonna come to pass for you. 5,000 people. Yeah. Well, listen. You know, out of 5,000 people, that's the law of probability. Somebody gonna be blessed. If I took a beach ball and had y'all huddled together, and I took a beach ball and I threw it out into the congregation, it's gonna hit somebody. The probability is 99.999. It's gonna hit somebody. What am I saying to this? Listen to good advice. People will give you their own advice, but it's not God advice. It may sound like good advice, but it's not God advice. Listen for God advice in your situation. God's advice is always best. People will tell you what they want you to hear. There are profiting prophets out there. People will lie to you for their own selfish gain. But listen for God's voice in your life and in your situation. God will always give you good advice. And how does he give it to us? He gives it to us through prayer. When we listen for the still small voice of God, God will speak to us. That God will speak to us through his word as well. This is primarily how God speaks to us through his word. That means you're reading the word. That means you're studying your Bible. But God will also bring people your way and my way, godly people, to give us a godly word. Good advice. Don't take advice from just anybody. God's advice is always best. Listen to God. Then verses 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. There it is, y'all. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We love that verse, don't we? We know Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, yeah. We quote that right off the bat, but do we always quote it in context? Do you see something in the text? In the context in which it was spoken, they won't lock down. They were prisoners of war. We can't just blab out it. God knows the plans that he has for you. That's all good. Listen, God may have you on lockdown. And you may be there for a while. But know that God's plans, they are good. His promises are true. They are yes and they are amen. But you might be on lockdown for a while. So the point is this. Light at the end of a dark tunnel makes the tunnel bearable. In the end, God's divine agenda for your life is good. The in-between places, I see it much like a dark tunnel, that you've been pulled into a situation and sometimes it's hard to see light at the end of the tunnel. But have you ever noticed that when you can see light, the light gives you some hope? Light gives you hope that God is with you. You're in the in-between place, but God will show up and God will fulfill his promises in your life, in my life. God told Judah again, you're going to be here for 70 years. That he would do all the good things that he had promised them before. Hang on to the promises of God. Know the voice of God. God speaking to you. And know what God is saying in your life in this season. That God has given you promises and blessings, but you got to know what they are, and you got to listen to God. And God is saying, listen, I'm going to bring it to pass, but you're still going to be on lockdown for 70 years, but I will bring it to pass. As they lived in the in-between place, they could look ahead, y'all, and see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I hope I'm talking to somebody today. Because maybe you feel like you're in a dark place and there's no way out, but listen, God is the light of hope. Jesus is our light of hope and the light of glory. Look up and see Jesus. There's light at the end of the tunnel. I tell you, it is. Sister Cynthia, losing mama is a hard thing to do. I am a mother's child. Y'all know that about me. It's a hard thing to make it through. But listen, there's light and there's hope at the end of the tunnel. God will help you get through what you cannot get over. There's light at the end of the tunnel. That's God's word for us today. The tunnel may seem long, it may seem dark, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. We can keep on smiling. We can keep on praising. We can keep on lifting up holy hands. We can keep on shouting. We can keep on dancing. We can keep on serving because there's light at the end of the tunnel. Keep on believing. Keep on moving forward. Don't give up because we know all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And so there's no situation that's so chaotic, that's so problematic, that's so dark, that's so bad that God can't see you out of that place. No matter where you are, no matter what it looks like, God promised he would never leave you nor forsake you, that God is with you right now. So perhaps, y'all, you're in this in-between place in your life right now. Maybe you have some doubts, some concerns, some fears. That's all right. Join the crowd. I've come to understand that in my life, doubt and fear oftentimes coexist to help us to grow in our faith. That sometimes we feel like we live on one side of the tracks or the other, the good or the bad, when in reality there's good and bad going on in our lives at the same time. So how do you learn to live in the in-between place? You accept where you are, remain active. Keep on being busy for God. Keep on doing what God called you to do. Receive some good advice through prayer, through the Word of God, through godly people, people filled with godly wisdom. And know that his plans and his thoughts for you are always good. God has a divine agenda for your life and my life. And though it's filled with hills and valleys and ups and downs, in the end, it is good. Yeah, so some time ago, I ran across this article talking about the best cookie of all time. You know, I thought about the oatmeal cookie. I love me some oatmeal cookies. Anybody remember those Archway cookies, the big ones, you know? And they'd be real soft and everything. And you take one cookie over here and another cookie over there, get you some of the government cheese, and some of us grew up that way. Slap something in the middle, put it together, man. You got a sandwich. I didn't say a sandwich. You got some good stuff. Best cookie of all time. And I thought maybe it's a chocolate chip cookie, y'all. Anybody love them some chocolate chip cookies? Chips Ahoy, you know. Take it and dip it in that milk, y'all. Let it get a little bit soggy and you can eat chocolate chip cookies. Some of y'all said, Pastor, hurry up. I'm getting hungry now. You need to hurry up with this message. But y'all, they said the best cookie of all time, y'all. They did the research, y'all. They say it's the Oreo cookie. Chocolate on one side. Chocolate on the other side. But what makes the Oreo cookie so good and so addictive, y'all, is what's in between. It's the sweet cream filling on the inside of the Oreo cookie. I'm trying to say something to somebody today. Listen, you might be in the in-between place, but there's a sweet Savior who promised to never leave you nor forsake you, that he's with you right now, that whatever you're going through, God said, I won't leave you. I'll always be with you. That we serve a sweet God and a sweet Savior that's walking with us, talking with us right now in our situation. You might be in your in-between, but God is with you. God will carry you through. He'll see you through. Hold on to God unchanging in your in-between place. God is with you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You may feel like you're in prison right now. Guess what? God is with you in your in-between place. Listen, you may be dealing with some relationship difficulties, but God is with you in your in-between place right now. You might be in between jobs right now, but God will provide for your every need. God will be with you in the in-between place. He's a sweet Savior and a sweet God. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. Strong winds may blow, but I found a Savior. Anybody found a Savior? Do you know Jesus? And he's sweet. He's sweet, I know. God will be with you in the in-between. In the in-between place. That's good, y'all. I had to eat it. I had to take a bite. Pray with me. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for your word today. God, we pray for anybody that feels like they're in this in-between place. In this middle place where they're waiting for things to get better. But sometimes you ask us to simply sit and have faith and wait. To trust you. That you were with us when we went into the storm. You'll be with us on the other side of the storm. But while we're in the storm, we're to wait. Like Paul and Silas, who discovered, God, that you were with them in a jail cell. It was midnight. And they had a praise service and a worship service because they knew that you were with them. That, God, you delivered Israel out of Egypt, but they had yet to make it to the promised land. And they found themselves in the middle of a wilderness, in the middle of the desert, oh God. But your hand was with them. You were with them. You guided them with light in the day and the pillar of fire at night. You were with them in the in-between place, the middle place, oh God. We think about the thieves on the cross, one on the left, one on the right. But Jesus, you were in the middle, and you're in our middle right now. And one day we'll spend paradise, be in paradise with you. But we trust you right now in our middle place, in the in-between place. And it may seem like a place of misery and pain. But even in that misery and pain, oh God, you're working something out in and through our lives. You're growing us. You're maturing us. And you're making us better for your kingdom. Oh, for grace to trust you, Jesus. To trust you more. Help us to learn to live, to survive and thrive in those in-between places. And we can rejoice even when we're in the middle. I pray, oh God, that you speak to a heart right now. Person that may not know you in the pardon of their sins. And maybe right now they feel like they're in this middle place, this strange place. I pray, oh God, that you speak to their hearts, that they will come to know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. Your word says that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. That there's none righteous, no, not one. But Father, in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, Jesus Christ. And the prophet Isaiah said it best, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's by his stripes that we are healed, that we're brought into a renewed relationship with you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. And your word says that we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, then we'll be saved. That settles it. So, Father, we pray for the power of your Spirit. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to you even in this very moment. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.